Next, we move on to the third speaker, Professor Akihito Iwashita, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization and Japan. Please.
Thank you, Chair. Several key points on the SCO are shared by us three presenters. It is true that some United States and Western analysts and officials worry about the SCO and its future, but we also understand the reason why they think so. Oksana and Mark, both papers clearly point at this matter. I do not need to repeat my point of view on that point. My first part of the presentation on the SCO is how we might as well characterize the SCO itself. I think the SCO has two different but closely complicated aspects, two points. First, working dynamism for regional cooperation via border areas. Second, field for balance game. Please, I should put something, yeah. Second factor is a field for balance game played by the inner actors of the SCO and by the outside actor of the SCO, balancing point. We should distinguish the two different aspects before going further discussion. This is my first thesis today. Please see this map, Eurasia. So three stars, red stars, Japan, United States, and England. But interesting, I quoted this green map, what area is Eurasia, but our three countries are excluded from a Eurasian continent. It's very interesting map. Then it needs to understand relations, asymmetry relations. So this is because Eurasian continent is land and vast, but land borders is concentrated many countries, but we are the sea powers far from the continent. So typical thinking in the Russia-China-US triangles. So you know my research on the Russia-China relations, particular border issues. My conclusion is that the Russo-Chinese relation is strongly influenced by the existence of border stability is a key for the Russo-Chinese relations. So I put a strong straight line. But United States is different. United States is far from the continental. So US-Russia relation, US-China relation is different from Sino-Russian relations, I think. Different logics works. United States has a free hand to do realize diplomacy toward each Russia, each China, sometimes go on the Russian side, sometimes China side. But Sino-Russian relation acts differently. Keep this difference. So it's, the symbol of Sino-Russian relations, Damansky Islands. So then this is a key area for the Shanghai Cooperation Organization process, Shanghai process. This is a former Soviet-Chinese border, western side, from Mongolia to Afghanistan, Pakistan. This area is mainly a key area for the Shanghai process. Please keep in mind it. Then straight lines, border dynamics, border relations, regional cooperation. This is a three triangle: Russia, Kazakh, Kyrgyz, Tajik, and China. This is a basic logic for the Shanghai process. So this is a Kazakh-China border, also Kazakh-China border. It's also Kazakh-China border. This is a mountainous Kyrgyz-China border. It's a Turgard Pass. It's also Turgard Pass, just a border area. Then it's a Irkeshtan Pass, also between China and Kyrgyzstan. This is Karas custom on the China side vis-a-vis Tajikistan border, Pamir Mountain. So if we go down south, this area to Pakistan. This is a key area for the Shanghai cooperation process at the beginning. Then we brief back to the history of Shanghai Forum. First, Russia, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan formed a group as a four and plus one China negotiate the border disputes and diffuse the border instability and introduce a CBM on the border areas. This is a process beginning of the Shanghai Five. Then Five created so since 1996. Then, but two new incidents occurred in 2001. So first, it's a creation of a Shanghai Cooperation Organization inviting Uzbekistan as a full member. Second moment is 9/11. So Uzbekistan joining the SCO was decisive to characterize the SCO. So why? Uzbekistan acts a balanced policy within the SCO. Why? Uzbekistan, a country without sharing the former Sino-Soviet border. Uzbekistan is free from the border arrangement accumulated by the Shanghai process. Uzbekistan has a kind of free hand within the SCO policy. Then how Uzbekistan acts in the SCO was decisive for the SCO orientation. This became apparent following the SCO reaction just after the 9/11 terrorist attacks and Uzbekistan's decision to permit the U.S. presence in Central Asia. It is also worth remembering the SCO response at Astana, as we discussed, to the Andijan incident 2005 after the freezing of the U.S.-Uzbek relations. Uzbekistan's appeal to play the role of steering country for the SCO, particularly in its balancing politics. So please imagine the quadrangle or triangles. Uzbekistan, Russia, US, China quadrangle is very interesting. Uzbekistan is free both from Russia, both from China, United States. Uzbekistan has advantage position in diplomacy free vis-a-vis any countries. But interestingly, if we consider the situation of observer states, so I put red star on Iran and India. What does it mean? Red star countries have a position to realize a balancing policy. For example, India and Iran, both countries far from the key area of the SCO process. Key area is yellow or territory. This border originated Kaba area, key area of the SCO process. In this sense, both Iran and India had a chance to do a free diplomacy around the SCO and within the SCO. Therefore, India now is a good relation with the United States. Therefore, India is very cool to the SCO. Iran is the opposite. Iran has a bad relation with the United States, and Iran is isolated with the Gulf states. Therefore, Iran is eager to join the SCO, to use the SCO as a balancing organ. In this sense, it's anything positive or negative. So the Iran and India has an advantageous position to use SCO as a balancing factor. But Pakistan, Mongolia is different. Mongolia, please imagine the Mongolian location between the yellow territories. Anyway, Mongolia should be joined. This is because without Mongolia, any regional, any border arrangement could not well function. Therefore, although Mongolia did not want to join the SCO so much, but Mongolia couldn't resist the invitation initiated both Russia and China. Then Pakistan. Do you remember the map on the Central Asia and China? Then Pakistan is an extended area, Central Asia. Pakistan next to Afghanistan. Pakistan has a border with China. Therefore, Pakistan is very sensitive to the border arrangement. Pakistan is naturally the first country who applied joining the SCO membership in 2001. It's very logical. In this sense, we should distinguish these two aspects. Concluding the SEO characteristics, we should draw the two dimensions of the dynamics within the SEO. First, border predicts regional cooperation following the Shanghai spirit. And second, balancing in around the SEO, particularly promoted now by Uzbekistan and Iran. The most important thing is to discern these two dimensions. The balancing dimension may serve some member countries' short-term interests, but could cause huge damage to SEO unity, its constructive cooperation with non-member surrounding the SEO in the long term. Therefore, an urgent task is how to diffuse a collision between the SEO and others, particularly the United States. In this sense, the SEO should state the original spirit of Shanghai more clearly, while the United States and some Western countries should stop pushing the SEO towards the opposite corner against the West. SEO must be more open and transparent. Then how can we bridge the gap between the SEO and the West? I think Japan can help bridge the gap by playing the role of intermediary. Japan's advantage is for reshaping its international with SEO. Some reasons to put Japan on the agenda are as follows. First, colorless presence in Central Asia. As you know, many Central Asian countries appreciated Japan's huge contribution to Central Asia with little linkage to any specific region or ideology. It's very good advantages for the Japan's commitment future. The Central Asia plus Japan format is also successfully strengthened now. Second, all around good tie with observer member states. So we have a good relation with both India and Pakistan. We have diplomatic ties with Iran, and Mongolia is also a good friend. So no country observer states reject Japan's commitment to this area. Third, if some countries worry about Japan's commitment to these areas, maybe Russia and China. But now we have a strategic dialogue each with Russia, each with China. Therefore, it's a good to the persuade Russia-China to invite us. Fourth, alliance with the United States. This is a basis of our foreign policy. With United States, we go. Fifth, an Asian open gate for the West. I think it's a historical, cultural meaning. So how we propose a Eurasian Interaction Initiative? So I propose a concrete procedures. First, the SEO charter. Regrettably, SEO charter's potential has yet to be used fully. I find Article 14 of the US SEO charter a dialogue partner. What is a dialogue partner? Nobody knows. But please imagine observer status sometimes is heavy for us. But the dialogue partner, if we make this concept more convenient, maybe it could be applicable. Second point, start up on an ad hoc status at the summit, guest status. Afghanistan, Karzai sometimes attend guest at the summit of Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Maybe this next month, Turkmenistan will join as a guest status. So guest status is also available for making a partnership. Three, pre-summit interactions. I think some events on the eve of SEO summit, we can use sometimes drop some foreign ministers from the West and to the discuss something. Such kind of interaction also doesn't make sense, I think. Fourth, establishing SEO plus alpha format. I explain it later. Fifth, it linkage the SEO and other regional organizations as SALAC, ASEAN, and six-party talks. Particularly six-part talks would be coming forum on the Northeast Asian security. I think linkage of these regional arrangement, I think it's very useful. Then, how to proceed it, dialogue partner. SEO plus alpha format, I propose. Maybe you know my position on the Northern Territorial issue, Russian-Japanese debate. So maybe you may know my position is how resolve the Northern Territorial issue. So 2 plus alpha method, 2 islands plus alpha. Therefore, I'm fan of plus alpha. Then the plus alpha methodology could be used for SEO, I think. So from first guest status, next stage on the partner, dialogue partner, SEO plus Japan, SEO plus EU, SEO plus US, maybe SEO plus 3, we are now the 3, then SEO plus 4, it's very good idea, I think. As a conclusion, first, benefits of the SEO, what benefits for the SEO? Of course, it's more prestigious. Second is very important, preventing potential conflict with the West. It's a very important point. Third, future perspective as a key component of a future all around Eurasian Forum. It's a linkage with other security institutions toward the future. Fourth point is also critical. Calming down the unnecessary noise for balancing around the SEO through a build-up mutual confidence mechanism with non-member states and group. I said that balancing side within SEO or around SEO may have some benefit in short term to some countries, some members of the SEO, but I think it could cause damage seriously to the future or in the long-term interest. Therefore, calming down the unnecessary noise for balancing aspects of the SEO. Fifth, strengthening the positive aspects of constructive regional cooperation under global support. If you agree with my idea on the SEO, some Japanese bureaucrats criticize me. Okay, I understand your opinion, but what kind of interests for Japan? I explain. Cost-benefit commitment Central Asia. Now we have a good format Japan plus Central Asia. It's good. But I worry about if the Japan plus Central Asia format be opposite against the SEO, it's non-productive. Reversely, we should join such kind of the effort to create more transparency of these regions. Second, cost-effective commitment SEO as its partner. Some persons criticize me, SEO will be burden for Japan's foreign policy. They meet many times, they set many meetings on high-ranking level, bottom level. But if you use a partner or guest, non-involvement in diary arrangement for meeting with the SEO, it's best cost-benefit commitment and making the relations up. Third, prestigious. If these trial be developed and to make the Eurasian Security Forum emerge. Of course, in this context, redefining and developing Japan's role in the US-Japan security arrangement, Japan now is seeking a new role in the US-Japan security alliance. Of course, new relation will begin with China and with Russia. This is an image for Japan's new Eurasian policy. Of course, neighborhood, good neighborhood policy toward Russia and China, and as a goodwill intermediary, Japan pay some commitment to the Central Asia and the South Asia, Middle East. SEO is one of the good tool for Japanese interest, not only the Japanese, but also the SEO members at all. So I strongly ask you to join my project for making a new Eurasian community. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Professor Yoshita. You might have noticed that he is no ordinary university professor. He is probably one of the few Japanese scholars that ever visited all those national borders in Central Asia.